You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Well, folks, we are into our Droogle segment, and it's starting to become a bit of a strange phenomenon. I tell you, people from around the world have begun to join the Twitter conversation between the Meeting House pastor, Bruxy Cavey, who's the author of The End of Religion, and the author of a book called The Shack, Paul Young, and myself. These two guys are trying to sort of tweet me off, if you know what I mean. They're trying to tweet me off the ledge of my faith, back into the building, so to speak. Climb back into your faith, buddy. Because I revealed at the beginning of the season that, I'm not convinced there's a God anymore. And for many people, boy, there's just been a flood of reactions. Some people have automatically drawn the conclusion that, okay, you're an atheist now? No, I'm not an atheist now. Maybe you could put the agnostic-y title on me, but I'm still pathetically trying to follow Christ. I'm just saying I'm having a hard time believing there really is a God. And it's opened up a strange, fascinating, sometimes hurtful dialogue. So, from now until Christmas, I'm going to speak to a variety of prominent people during each show and ask them why they believe in God, and if they've ever had a legitimate personal encounter with Him. We'll even ask a few prominent atheists or agnostic guests why they don't believe there's a God. So basically, each week, we'll ask each of our Droogle guests, to talk me off the ledge. But more about their experience. How do they come to the conclusion that there is a God? Let me give you a little backstory before we go to this guest. Well, I think she was the first person I told publicly, other than when I sort of admitted it to Ravi Zacharias during the interview with him. That kind of just came out. I was sort of ambushed by that, by myself in that conversation. But I made a little phone call to someone that's become very dear to my heart. I think of her as a little sister, although, as I said earlier, I'm not going to be as cruel as her brother was when he used to pin her down and spit a loogie over her face and then suck it back up.
He used to droogle her.
Yes, that's the definition of droogle. That's what we came up with today. He droogled her. So we talked about my, I guess, crisis of faith, and why she was on set, make it or break it, she was waiting to be called in for her scene, or I don't know, whatever the lingo is. And wasn't good timing. I probably shouldn't have spilled the beans then. But anyway, that's when it all came out to this young lady, Candace Cameron Bure. Hello, Candace, darling.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
I have scary eyes right now because, my heart just gets all mushy and big.
True,
I'm like, it just, I know, it, the whole thing's killing me. And then you just saying, like, I was one of the... with the second person you told, or, you know, and I don't even know why I was that person, but you just brought back a bunch of memories of that day, and it just broke my heart.
Yes, I'm sorry, because after the makeup is done, you're not supposed to cry, are you?
No, and you had me in tears right before doing a scene.
Yeah, sorry about that. I hope you didn't get in trouble.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't.
All right, so just before we get into the Droogle stuff, boy, this Make It or Break It show has just, at least from a Canadian perspective, commercials, the advertising, the promotional push, it's just really taken off up here. So well done being part of another successful show, Candace.
Sweet, thank you. It's been fun.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the character that you play is a Christian character. That's what they've... They wrote a role almost sort of for you, I guess, although this person is not you in so many ways, but this Christian dialogue happens on the show, on the set of the show, about abstinence and, I mean, the whole... Anyway, I find it just fascinating, and I've told you this many times before. You are the right person at the right place for the right role.
Thank you. I think that, too. It really was a surprise to me that they made her a Christian character, and that, of course, is just after talking to me and them getting to know me, and they wanted to incorporate that into the character, to my surprise, and I was excited. But as I read so many people's tweets or messages to me, you get so many supportive people, but then there's always those handful of people that are like, gosh, does she have to shove her her Christianity and her religion down all of our throats? And why did she force those producers to, like, make a character that's exactly who she is? I'm going, but I didn't. They did this. But to me, by the grace of God, they did that. But
yeah.
And a great opportunity. But I'm, you know, I'm not trying to play myself on TV.
No, no. And, yeah, there are vast differences between the character and you. Although I think
yes.
I think both you and the character have kind of shopping issues. Can I just say that out loud?
We might have shopping issues, and we might kind of have the same taste in the way we like our men to look.
Yes, because yes,
the
because
coach might look like very similar to my husband. Maybe.
Oh.
Can I tell you how many people have asked me? Is that really your husband that you're kissing on the show? Did he? Is it like your brother on Fireproof and like your husband? In.
Yeah.
No.
No. Not so much. Not so much. All right, listen, let's get to this Droogle thing here. Each Droogle guest, we are asking two very basic questions. Do you believe in God? Why? So obviously, Candace, you are a believer in God, so I'm going to ask you why, and then I'm going to follow that up with, have you ever had a personal encounter with God? And I don't mean you prayed for a parking spot and there was. I don't mean you got a little emotional goosebump.
Darn it. That was my story.
You didn't get an emotional goosebump during, you know, a Ray Comfort message where he was peeling a banana back or something like that. So let's go to the first one. Yes, you believe in God, but why?
Now, am I trying to make an argument to you, or am I really telling your listeners why I believe in God?
It's both.
Because we've already had this conversation.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I'll tell you these things. You already know the answer, but I feel like I already know what questions you're going to ask or what, you know, the devil's advocate you're going to play when I give you my thoughts.
Yep. So you should be well prepared.
I should be, and I'm not. And I told you, Drew, even before when you asked me, I said I'm not going to give you any kind of intellectual response to this question. Because do I believe in God? 100%, absolutely, yes. But it really all boils down to faith. And there's no intellectual reasoning that can persuade anyone when it comes down to faith, because you either believe or you don't.
Right.
And I will tell you that surely, from my point of view, something that we talked about, you know, well, does it just come down to a 50-50 chance of, hey, I'd rather go to heaven, so I'm going to believe if there really is a hell, I don't want to go there, so I'll just say sure, and I'll jump on this bandwagon for the sake of not wanting to go to hell if it really exists. And I will certainly say that that plays a part in my decision, because I do believe that there's a heaven and a hell, and I don't want to go to hell. I do have a holy fear of God, that what the Bible says is true and right, and of course that just comes by faith. I believe it by faith. So that's one of my arguments. I'm not willing to take the risk. I'd rather live this life that I feel is more righteous, and really, what does it come down to that I'm going to miss out on?
Right.
You know, I'm not going to party it up. I'm not going to sleep with a bunch of men or I don't know. Take your pick of what so-called worldly things are as opposed to what the Bible teaches. And I'm like, is that really more important to me? Am I really missing out on that? And for me, I'm not. I'd rather live as righteously as I can. Again, not being perfect or great or wonderful in my efforts, but I'd rather live that way than have the chance of going, man, I got it wrong at the end of the day, and I am suffering in hell right now.
Okay, so Candace, I ask you if you believe in God, and you say yes, and I say why, and you say, well, it really does boil down to faith, and I get that. Intellectual arguments are part of this equation for many people, but at this point in time, you're saying, you know what, it does boil down to faith for me. So let me come back with, okay, then what sustains your faith?
Listen, I've had a very tough season just these last few months in my life. And when I look at it, I look at the decisions that I'm making, the decisions I'm trying to make, the way I'm trying to live to, you know, improve the situation or the circumstances or just to hang on and keep living. And I'm like, man, if there's no God and, like, this is just it, I'm just here to live, to breathe, and I'm going to die, and there's nothing at the end of the day. You know, I thought about it, Drew, that I don't even know my great-grandparents. And I thought, so what do you really leave? Are you trying to live, if there's no God, you're just trying to leave your mark on the world, that you're trying to leave some kind of legacy? Who actually leaves a mark on the world? Like, what's the percentage of the amount of people that live in the world that actually leave a mark on it?
Right.
There really aren't that many. And so when I thought of, I don't even know my great-grandparents. So really, within two generations or three, it's lost.
Hmm.
It's completely lost. Well, so I go, so I'm just living to live and breathe and die, and nobody even knows me at the end of the day or what I've done, because that's what the majority of human beings on the earth. And I'm like, so what's it for? What's the point? And if this is just it, when life gets hard, dude, this sucks. Why do I even live? And I there are some days I'm like, well, I'd rather not be living, because if this is all there is at the end of the day, I seriously, like, it's not worth it.
Yeah, well, and see, here's my dilemma. Every time I do leave my mark on the world, the snow that I leave it on eventually melts.
Right.
I'm not sure if you... That's kind of...
I kind of got that.
Okay, that's kind of, well,
it took me that extra half a second because I'm blonde, but I got it.
I'm just saying, okay, all right. So, but here's the deal. When I really considered... Not just looking over the edge of my faith, looking over the edge and deciding whether I want to jump, just, you know, contemplate. But when I had my arms in full motion and I'm, you know, one, two, and I started to think, man, I imagine if this really is it, if when I die, and it could be tomorrow, that there is no more. That actually catapulted me towards love. More than any preacher or Bible track or scripture or Christian song, even a Keith Green song, it catapulted me towards love. Now, that might be because of my conditioning over the last 30 years as a Christian, maybe. I don't know. But I thought, man, if this is it, I better giddy up with life. I better love on those who are in my life. I better love those that I do want to leave a mark. I want to leave a legacy of love. Does that make any sense?
It makes complete sense. It makes great sense, but still, after a few generations, your mark of love will be gone.
Yeah.
So even to me, that, when I think about it even deeper, I'm like, so really, you just leave a mark of love of two or maybe three generations if you're lucky.
Right. So you're saying that the possibility of hopelessness in the fact that there is nothing more after life is the thing that sustains your faith? Because you go, I just can't believe that. So that, I mean, like when you are in the crap.
Yeah, that's a part of it.
Right.
That's a part of it.
So when you're down and out, when you're struggling, when you've had the last couple of months, you know, you've had ups and downs or whatever, or, you know, think back to the dark night of your soul whenever, you know, I can't imagine, you know, happy, shiny Candace ever having a dark night whatsoever. But I'm sure you do because you have a pulse as well.
Joined me these last 2 weeks of my life. Go ahead.
Okay.
Did you get my test?
yes, I did, yeah. Okay, so what? Have you ever had a time where you've doubted the existence of God, Candace? I mean, prior to you buying into the program.
No, because since I've been saved, Drew, I'm honestly saying no, I haven't doubted, because if this is it, I really, I don't know that I would want to continue living. I have to have hope. There has to be hope that there's something more than just this life for me.
Right.
I don't care, and not to even, you know, just sound, I'm like, if my point is just to, okay, maybe raise good kids if that's what I'm in my life for, or my hope is to, or if all this life is just about being successful and career-driven and making money and all that, I'm just like, really? Like, that's it? I have to have something more than that, and that's where my hope lies in God,
right?
That he is truthful in what he's saying, that there is more than that, because I just think all this is pretty crappy if that's all it amounts to.
Okay, have you ever had a direct, personal, non-circumstantial encounter with God? I keep having to put all these sort of adjectives in front of them.
You do? Okay, I was thinking about this too, and Drew, every single encounter you can say is by circumstance. Every encounter, you can say that's circumstantial.
Yeah, you're right. For the most part, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to tell you my best God story, but you will still say it's by circumstance.
I might, yeah, I might, but I will not poo-poo it because it's your thing. It really is your thing. And I'm just saying, okay, either God, change me so I get that these things are from you, or show up in a way that I'm convinced it's you. I'm open to that. I'm not sitting here with my arms crossed going,
okay.
You know.
Okay. So my best story is that I prayed for a really good parking spot, and I got it.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm kidding.
Jeez.
No.
Set me up.
Okay. Here it is. It's slightly lengthy, but I'm going to try to condense it as much as possible. My Lev at the time, my son, who's now 10, he was 4 years old, and he was diagnosed with what is called a cholesteatoma, which is basically a tumor that was in his ear. He had surgery on it that was quite extensive and had, the worst thing that could happen was that he would be paralyzed on his entire left side because this tumor was so severely wrapped around his facial nerves that it would be extremely hard to get it when they removed it to just not touch any of the nerves and then have them be damaged. The surgery happened. The surgery was successful. They told us in 6 months he will have to have a second surgery because every single cell has to be removed or else it will continue to grow and it will, it deteriorates whatever it touches. So 6 months, maybe 4 months goes by and they say we need to do a scan to see where we're at for the second surgery. So for the first time in my life and in my husband's life, we fasted. We were praying, but we were fasting. I'd never fasted before.
You mean food? Like, what were you fasting? Food, or sex?
We
or
food.
Okay. No.
We fasted from food. Right?
Just wanted to clarify.
Probably sex too, Drew. Probably sex too.
Okay, got it. No, because, I mean, when we say fasting, we automatically default to food, but people fast for all sorts. I mean, I fasted a week with my eyesight, right? I went blind for that week, and so, yeah. Anyway, okay.
Okay. So we decided to fast from food the day before the CT scans and the day of. So we had nothing but water that day. And my husband, Val, went in and took Lev. He had all these scans done, and they put them on a CD. So as Val's driving home from the hospital, he said, I have the disc in hand. Call the doctor to make the appointment to read the disc so we can see what the results are, if the tumor is gone or it started to grow back. I called the doctor's office, and they said, okay, the next available appointment is in a month and a half. And I said, no, I'm sorry, that's not acceptable. And they said, well, the doctor's leaving today for Europe and won't be back for a month and a half, so you can't get in. And I said, well, is he there today? And they said, yes, today's his last day in the office. I said, can I come by and even drop the CD off that maybe you can put it in his hands before he leaves on the trip?
Right.
And she said, well, I can't promise anything. You're welcome to drop it by, but chances are he's not going to see it. Okay. As soon as Val gets home, I get in the car and start driving an hour to the hospital, and I prayed the entire way down, and I was specifically praying, Lord, please, find a way that I will actually see the doctor today, that I could actually put the disc in his hands. Lord, I'm praying that he would actually read the discs right in front of me and could give me an answer to see if my son's tumor is growing back. And I prayed this for an hour driving down there, very specific. I got to the hospital, Drew. I parked the car, and as I walked up to like an 11-floor medical building, the entire building was evacuated. And I seriously was like, are you serious? Like, the entire building is evacuated. Immediately, I'm like, God is doing something because that just doesn't happen. And they said the fire alarm had gone off, and so they evacuated. I waited, and I go, Lord, maybe I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him waiting down here. We waited about, I waited 20 minutes. I didn't see the doctor. They gave the clearance. They said, okay, you can go back in the building. I rushed back up to his, or up to his floor. There was not a soul in the building. I think I was the first one in there. And I was saying, hello, hello, and behind the, you know, there's the desk and a door to get back into the waiting rooms or the, you know, the rooms where they see you. And I'm saying, hello. Nobody answers. And I all of a sudden hear two voices, and I hear one going, well, you have a great trip, and we'll see you when you get back. Okay, thanks a lot. And the footsteps are getting closer, and around the bend is my son's doctor. And I see him, and I, you know, charge up to him, and I'm like, hi, you had, you know, performed surgery on my son 4 months ago. We just got the disc. You're doing another surgery on him. But they told me that you're leaving. I wanted to see if there was any way, you know, if I could just give you this disc that maybe even on your trip you could look at it so we don't have to sit and not know what the results are for a month and a half. And he said, oh, okay, sure, I'll take the disc from you. And then he kind of looked around, and he said, well, you know, actually, we just had the fire alarm had gone off. They evacuated the building. I don't even have my staff here right now. Nobody's back in. I guess I don't have any patients waiting for me either. So why don't you just come into my office right now, and we'll just take a look at the disc together, and I'll tell you right now. And I went, okay, are you still with me?
Yes.
Yeah. So we went back into his office. He put the CD in his computer. He read the results for me right there, which thankfully the tumor had not grown back. They were clear, so the second surgery did not have to be that extensive.
Wow.
And, like, little by the time people started arriving back in the office, one of the nurses came in, and she goes, yeah, it turns out on the sixth floor someone burned a bag of popcorn in the microwave, and it set the alarm off.
Wow. So do
and
you...
I'm like, yeah, God burned that bag of popcorn.
So you give credit to God, not Orville Redenbacher, is what I'm hearing.
Yes, yes. Drew, I was so specific in my prayers. I'd never fasted before in my life, and I can't see those sequence of events happening and not give the credit to God. You can certainly say they were circumstantial, but I don't buy it for 1 minute.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That was just too bizarre for me,
yeah,
for that to just be a coincidence.
Yeah. You're right. I got to admit, that was a good one. I mean, I've heard some pretty, you know, look, I know this sounds judgmental, but I can only go off of where my head is at, and I've heard some ones that are, you know, to be quite honest, fairly weak. And, Candace, that's a good one. That's all I can say. I mean, I guess the pushback is, well, what about the other people who, you know, thousands over the years who prayed and did the same thing, and they fasted, and, you know, they got to the building and the doors were locked and the doctor had already gone on holidays, or their son died from XYZ or whatever, right?
Listen, I get it, because there's been lots of prayers that I've prayed that don't get answered that way.
Yeah. But this is...
You asked me to pull out my best one, and God certainly showed up that day.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah, I mean, this is why I do these interviews. I want people to hear these stories. I want to hear them. I want to remain shapeable or moldable or open to the possibility of God doing whatever. He is God. I'm not. I'm at a tough spot right now where I think it's important for me to be honest with where I'm at. And I'm also doing a show where I talk about these sorts of things. So I've combined the two, and I'm openly, honestly admitting I'm not convinced there is a God. And I want to hear more of these kinds of stories. I don't want to turn into a pessimistic jerk. I want to hear more. You know, does that make sense?
It totally does. I think it's great, and I actually think it's very healthy. And I'm glad that people are talking about it, because there's so many people that do doubt, and we need to discuss it. But at the same time, I just want to, like, you know, grab your shoulders and, like, shake this out of you and go, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Hop back on the wagon.
Yeah. I get it. Let me just share something real briefly, because we've got to go to our next guest, Frank Pastore, of course, from KKLA, down in your neck of the woods. He was kind enough to invite me on his show, and now I'm reciprocating.
Love Frank.
Yeah, good guy. While you were speaking to me, I got a text from my wife, who told me that our son, who over the last, I guess, 6-7 days, our son is 21, 6'5", large guy, high pain tolerance. He actually shot a nail gun through his finger one time at work and walked to the hospital, and they said, "Can I help you?" And he said, "Yeah, I don't think this is supposed to be here," and kind of held it up, and the lady behind the nurse almost passed out. So, tough guy. I'm giving you the setup here because for the last week he has been, debilitated, laid right down into his bed because of a massive headache behind his eyes, and this is just so rare for him. And so, while you're telling me about this CD tumor story, and I had a conversation with a good friend last night about this. You know, there's a part of my head that goes, really, God, this is what you're going to do? This is how you're going to show up? You're going to allow my son to have some wicked, nasty thing here because he's now my wife is taking him to the hospital? This is how you're going to show up? And I'm sorry, Candace, but it ticks me off. The only thing I can say on air is it ticks me off. That's how God shows up? I will strike one of your children down and you will be forced to your knees? Not impressed with that.
I don't know what to say about that. But God, Drew, we don't come to Christ because we're coming for a happy, perfect.
No, yeah, and I'm not expecting a cakewalk. I just want to know that what I believe is true, and I'm having a crisis of faith, and so I'm leaning in. My arms are not crossed. I'm leaning in. And so if this goes to, and I'm not saying it is, I'm not trying to be melodramatic here, but it just seems to be odd that you're talking about this story and this is what my son is going through. A little weird. And if it turns out to be something bad, nasty, my honesty says, screw it. This is a joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it, but where does that leave you?
I know.
Shake your fist all you want to at God all day long. What does that get you? So then you have nothing. You have no hope. There's nothing to put there's no faith anyway, so you don't need a place to put your faith or your hope. What do you do with that?
Yeah, don't know.
I don't know either. That's why you keep your faith no matter how hard it is.
Yeah, well, later in the show, I was given an email from a friend of mine who has got some great advice from a philosopher that I thought was brilliantly put, and I guess I'll share that with our listeners. It is something that I think is has been helpful, and I love the nuggets. I really do. The nuggets on Facebook, the nuggets that come through the Twitter conversation, and the nuggets, the stuff that coming out of people like you, Candace. I care about you, and I asked you not because you're Candace Cameron. I asked you because what you say matters in my life, okay?
Okay.
So, don't start crying on me again.
Not crying, but you know, there just aren't. I don't think there are two people that are praying harder for you than Bev and me. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. Okay. Well, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. We will touch base again, and you go back to that lovely little place you have in Napa.
I will. And with that said, I have to tell you that before I got on the phone, my husband just wanted to say, tell Drew, as he's enjoying a glass of wine and a cigar, yeah, life just doesn't get better than this.
Oh, what a chump. What a chump.
courtesy of Val Bure, who I hope your listeners will vote for on Battle of the Blades.
I know. I'm so stoked to see him.
Shameless plug.
Well done. We look forward to seeing Val in Battle of the Blades for sure up here in Canada. Candace, thank you, dear. Love you much.
Love you too.
All right, Chick.
Have a good rest of the show.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Candace. she's a gem. Well, we went a bit over time there. Got a bit mushy. If you want to participate in the Droogle discussion, Facebook is where it's at. You can go to our website, drewmarshall.ca, and click on Droogle, and you'll see more about my journey. I'll be posting a frequently asked questions section there because I'm getting a little frustrated with the same questions all the time, especially this one. Is this just a publicity stunt or a creative way to get more listeners? Wow. Really? Really? What kind of a sick blankety-blank would do something like that? So hopefully we've dealt with that question. Up next, Frank Pastore. He's the God radio God. Does that make any sense at all, Tim? Did I get that right?
Absolutely.
I mean that in the most respectable...
Yeah, double redundant, but still makes a lot of sense. I think we've got the apostrophe in the wrong... Or the apostasy in the wrong spot.
Yes, the apostasy, right. The right syllable in the wrong direct... I don't know. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Have a little faith in me. Have a little faith in me. Have a little faith in me.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.
I cannot speak so easily.
It's hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But if you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.